KXRN LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock on a Friday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Welcome to the program, as we do each and every Friday. We welcome in from the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce, the president and CEO of the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Slattery. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great today. How are you?
Fantastic.
So here's what I love the most about you. Mm-hmm. So it's 7:32 in the morning. I'm just finished a little segment on the weather here. I turn around and there's Aaron, all bright and cheery in the lobby. Thank you so much for showing up early. I love that.
Of course.
All right. And you brought a really cool guest with you this morning. You may know about the Laguna Beach Tennis Academy. Whether you want to get fit or play competitive tennis or learn a new skill, this is where you go. This morning we're going to be talking to Andrew Mateljan. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How you doing, Ed?
Doing better now, man. Now that you're both here, we're doing great, man. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so you look like a tennis player, and that's important. If I'm going to go learn some new skills or something, my instructor has to look like he plays tennis really well.
That's right. Thank you, Ed.
How long have you been playing?
I think I was in the womb I started playing.
It was a rough delivery, man.
Tennis is in our blood.
All right.
So my grandfather, he taught my mom and her brothers all how to play. He read a book on how to coach tennis. He played college basketball for USC.
Oh, excellent.
And he married a Norwegian gal who wasn't too tall.
Right.
So he threw basketball right out of the picture.
We're going with tennis now.
Yeah. So he read a book on, he came here from Croatia and he read a book on how to coach tennis.
Right.
And that was our way of getting a scholarship and getting our way through school.
So the whole family plays tennis. Oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So my uncle, he played for UNLV. My other uncle, he played for University of Riverside.
Right.
And then my mom, she played pretty competitively and started to play college tennis, but had me at a very young age.
Right.
So, and then since then, I was playing ever since I can remember.
And are you teaching because you have a couple of really little ones now, right?
I do. Yeah, I have a 6 and a 1.5-year-old, and they're both active. They're both playing.
This is truly a tennis family, man. So, congratulations there.
Thank you.
As an instructor, when you're teaching someone tennis, How difficult is it knowing what they need to do and how skilled you are in doing it to when they're just not getting it? I mean, is there a frustration point as an instructor?
No.
No?
Not really, no. It's more, I really appreciate the challenge and I really, that's, I think, the art in coaching for me.
Right.
Is there isn't really a frustration. It's more about... I think that's my competitive spirit. I like to challenge at any level, any age. I like to just see if we can, get them to achieve their goals, what they're trying to accomplish on the court, whether it be a better forehand or better physical fitness. We do whatever we can to try and help.
Now, and one of the things that you offer is a fitness program, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so during COVID, we were kind of shut down. And outdoor fitness became a big thing. So I thought that creating an outdoor physical class for tennis players specifically would be a great idea. So we started doing outdoor workouts on the tennis court and kept that socially distant and were able to do tennis-specific exercises that would improve their tennis, but also help them stay in shape through the pandemic, and then it just has carried over.
Right. If somebody steps onto the court never having played tennis, and the first thing for them is it form with the racket or is it footwork?
Probably form with the racket.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Form with the racket is what you want to be kind of learning first, because if you can get to the ball without any form, you can bunt it back, but then you're going to sort of plateau at a certain level.
Right.
But if you can kind of learn the form pretty well and then learn to get in position pretty well, it's a win-win. You're going to go far.
All right. Excellent. And teaching little ones, a parent or family brings their kids to learn What's the sweet spot, the age where you want to, that, okay, this is where this kid can really absorb the most?
Well, we're taking kids as early as 4.
Wow.
At our program. Wow. And usually at
full size rackets at 4?
No.
Okay.
No, they're mini size.
they're dragging the racket across the court.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're usually using like some sort of balloons or hacky sacks or feathers or different things to, you know, make the game fun.
Right.
But also introduce skills that will help them later on when they're really learning the game.
Right.
Or whether they want to relate into another sport or whatever, we try to work on athleticism and creativity and having fun in the atmosphere of the tennis court.
Right.
So for me, it was always about having fun when I went to the tennis court.
Right.
So I never got burnt out.
Right.
It's my passion.
Right.
It's always fun. And I try to, you know, implement that onto my players,
right,
and my kids as well.
Can you spot a future tennis champion? Can you like look at one of your kids and go, yeah, this guy's going to be playing tennis?
You can definitely pick out some more talents,
right?
You know, but again, the consistent work ethic that it takes. Mm-hmm. That's just something that is a little bit unpredictable.
Right. Speaking of consistent work ethic, we just recently saw Serena Williams in her last match, in her last tennis match.
Yes.
Just for a moment, as someone who loves tennis and has loved it all her life, tell us about the importance of Serena, first of all, and the work ethic that went behind her skills.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the importance of Serena's accomplishments in the sport. I mean, she's sparked a tremendous amount of interest in young players,
right.
That, you know, look at Coco Gauff today and a lot of the other American players up and coming. There's a ton of girls coming up, and even guys who are really inspired. The other gentleman who's in the semifinals right now, it's Francis Tiafoe. He was mentioning how inspired he was of Serena Williams and what an impact she had on his career.
Right.
And, you know, no doubt, to get to that level, the work ethic, the dedication that she has to the sport is like none other.
Right. As an observer of tennis, you think she's going to come back? Can she stay retired?
If I had to pick a guess, I would say she's going to play again.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she still has a real high level in her.
Right.
I just think that right now maybe things are a little bit, you know, maybe not her top priority.
Right.
But I think, you know, maybe taking a little bit of time away, having some time with their family, resting up, and really approaching the game like real committed for a little bit.
Right.
You know, I think her age is yes, it's one thing, but
right.
40 is the new 20.
Exactly.
Yes.
That was going to be my question. That was the next question.
That's
so yeah. Okay. So you couldn't see yourself retiring at 40 and stopping playing competitive.
Me personally, yeah. I don't compete anymore. I'm just coaching.
Okay.
But I don't serve like Serena Williams.
So tell our audience, if they were looking for private lessons.
Yes.
Can they come to you for private lessons?
Yes, definitely.
All right.
So we offer private lessons and, you know, all ages and abilities, and also group lessons for all ages and abilities.
Okay, so an adult, let's say an adult wants private lessons.
Yep.
What does that look like? What does day one look like compared to week 5 and as you move along?
Yeah, so usually we'll do an evaluation on the first day, whether it's a beginner, you know, so beginner, it's all about trying to get them building a great base, building the foundation,
right,
so they can build upon that. In other instances, you'll have players that come in that are looking to work on specific areas in their game.
Right.
So then we'll kind of break it down and see, okay, look, let's figure out a way to improve what you're working on.
Right.
And we'll usually set a little program and apply that to their game.
Generally, this may be a general, because I'm sure that everyone has a different strength, but teaching someone, is it more difficult, or do you have to focus more on teaching a serve or a backhand or a forehand? What stroke is the hardest to teach, is the hardest to get into someone and drive it into them?
So the serve.
The serve.
The serve is the hardest thing to accomplish. A good motion.
Okay.
So it just takes it's a complex movement, and it takes a lot of coordination, a lot of timing. So even though you're standing still, it's just the racket angles are a little complicated, and it takes a little bit more work than the other strokes.
Right. And repetitive, I think being repetitive is a key there, right? So 500 balls in a lesson, or 500 serves a lesson, or what?
Yeah. I mean, you got to work up to it.
Right. Not day one, right? 500
is quite a bit for the shoulder. Okay. You know, but so probably if you want to serve pretty consistently, you know, anywhere from even 50 to 100 balls a day.
Right.
Would be enough if you're doing it consistently.
Right.
Now, if you're having poor technique, that could ruin your shoulder.
Right.
So I say that cautiously. You know, you don't want to just be going out there and practicing your serve thinking it's going to get better without having proper technique.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen many injuries, and I've seen, you know, many things kind of go sour with people just kind of going out there and playing.
Right.
Without knowing how to actually do it properly.
Right. You injure yourself. And the old tennis elbow. I say it all. Oh, it's tennis elbow. Right?
Yeah.
That comes from poor technique on a backhand?
A little bit of, it could be a variety of things,
right.
But yeah, it is often, you know, a little bit of poor technique. Sometimes, you know, holding on to the racket too tense,
right.
Could be the wrong equipment being used.
Right.
So there's a few variables to it, but you know, if you have good technique, you're definitely lowering your chances of any injuries.
Right. Coaching an individual versus coaching a team.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
It is.
Okay.
It is. Yeah, it is. And tennis is very individualized,
right,
in general. You know, you don't have many teams traveling around besides at the collegiate and high school and a little bit at the junior level, but it is, because you're really trying to get the team applying the same concepts and getting them to work together and creating a camaraderie along the teammates.
Right. Right. Okay. And for our listeners, where's the tennis academy? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So we have two locations. We teach a lot of our classes at the Laguna Beach High School.
Okay.
And then the others is at Moulton Meadows Park.
Okay.
And you can look at all of our information at LagunaBeachTennisAcademy.com.
Okay. And personally, do you prefer grass or clay, or what do you prefer? What kind of surface is best for you?
So growing up, I always was a big hard court guy. I loved hard court, faster hard courts, just like they're playing at the U.S. Open.
Excellent.
But I spent a little bit of time in Spain where it's all on clay courts.
Okay.
And I learned to fall in love with the dirt over there.
All right. So excellent.
It's really fun and makes it a creative game.
Right.
But, you know, it's nice.
Aaron, I think this guy can even teach me tennis. I believe in him now. I believe in you, man. I'm coming down, man. I really do need some work on the backhand. I swear I do.
Yeah, you got to come out for a lesson.
Yeah, I will. Aaron, so what's happening with you here?
Well, my goodness, just a reminder, Taste of Laguna is coming up on October 13th. And of course, our City Council Candidate Forum is coming up next week on September 15th.
Yes, it is.
We do have Peter Blake, a city council candidate, speaking at our Government Affairs Committee meeting on October 6th next month. And I would like to also share that we're doing a three-chamber mixer. So it's going to be Newport, Laguna Beach, as well as Costa Mesa. We're doing a sunset mixer and cruise.
Ooh.
On October 27th.
Wow.
And so that's going to be going out of Newport.
Ooh.
And so that's on our website, and we'll be promoting that through our email blast as well.
Now,
that'll be a lot of fun.
Do chamber people get all catty with each other? Like, oh, you're from Newport, man.
No. It's all about networking, you know, meeting those new people, how you can collaborate together.
Right on.
So when we have a multi-chamber mixer, it allows us as chamber members to meet new people and to create those new relationships.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's why we like to do that.
Excellent, nice. Excellent. Now, we met Joelle here last week, a wonderful addition to the family over there at the Chamber of Commerce.
I'm so excited to have her.
She's really cool. She's really, she was up at 5 this morning with me. Yes. So that was really cool. I was like, okay, well, I have a guest today, tell me about, and she's just all over it. So good. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew Mateljan, thank you so very much for being here today.
Thank you
the Laguna Beach Tennis Academy. And again, man, not bad from right here, from standing right here. I think my form is already better. I appreciate you being here. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Ed.
8:18 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show.